From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, the new home of the Chicago White Sox. ESPN 1000. ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
It's been a very eventful day. We'll try and get some clarification from Jesse Rogers and what's going on with Chris Bryant. He also texted me. He wants to go over all the teams that are scouting the Cubs currently. And the Cardinals, too. But there are a lot of teams who have been at this series as we get closer to the trade deadline. A lot of them, I'm sure, looking at arms. They should do their best work with all the arms they have.
The White Sox were there the last couple of years, right? Yeah.
I mean, the White Sox, listen, you got to they're going to have to fortify that bullpen.
Yes, you do.
Now, last year, that bullpen was dirty, but what have we always said about bullpens? Most unpredictable part of baseball, for sure. Maybe the most unpredictable part of any sports team.
Yes, you need to fortify that. You can't have Cody Hoyer out there anymore, at least in a playoff situation. Yeah. I know it would come in a non-critical time, but you've got to come in with your bullpen with layers of good arms. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Most of your arms have to be reliable playoff situations. Your mean Mercedes has unretired. That was the news of the day. Yesterday at this time, he was contemplating retirement. Soon after the show, he announced his retirement on Instagram. And today he Instagrammed and sent a message out of a phoenix rising from the ashes and basically saying, I'm back. There were original reports from some of the Sox beat writers that Mercedes was back with the team and in the lineup today for Charlotte. But now Abdallah just told me that that's sort of been changed, where he's with the team, but he's not in the lineup. So
this, none of this surprises me in terms of, like, my first initial thought when we talked about this yesterday, what was the phrase he used? El Retiro?
Yes.
Wasn't that what was
it,
he was
with a thinking emoji? And it was El Retiro, ?
Well, I mean, like, and again, I can understand the frustration. He was the talk of Major League Baseball the first 6 weeks of this season, and a big reason why the White Sox got off to a good start, especially with a couple of their top players dealing with injuries. Then he gets demoted, and he sees other younger players out there contributing. His team that he was a part of earlier in the year is 20 games over 500. They've got an 8.5-game lead in their division. He's like, damn, I was part of that earlier in the year, and now I'm back in AAA, and I'm carrying my own bags, and I'm staying in less swanky hotels. This sucks. I'm 28.
Right. Oh, look, it's Gavin Sheets hitting a walk-off home run.
I did that.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's Jake Berger going deep.
I did that.
Yeah. All the different guys
who
are having success.
So I could understand the feeling of frustration. I thought Tony La Russa, when asked about it, said, look, I mean, I'll talk to him. And I do believe still that there's a chance that he is a guy that plays somewhat of a role when the playoff roster is expanded for the postseason. He may find himself in a pinch hitting role or has to step in for an injured player.
He could get hot again, right? Yeah. In September with the call ups, he could get hot again. You're going to have a big lead. You know, it's 9.5.
You're going to be playing guys to rest other guys, and he may have an opportunity, you're right, to reestablish himself.
Scott in Highland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
So a couple things. You talking earlier about La Russa, and there's no question the credit goes to the players and the credit goes to Rick Hahn for putting this team together. And you know what? He's doing okay right now. The players seem to like him a little better. But honestly, you have to be concerned because playoff rosters and big decisions are coming up. And I got to say this about Cap. You guys are so spot on. All you got to do to get set him off is talk about how much Tony La Russa is doing a terrible job. He goes crazy. He changes so easily. I wish I could play poker against that guy, and I would clean him out.
You would.
Take care, guys.
I think Cap does play poker. I think when he goes to different casinos when he's in different towns, and I think he does play Texas Hold'em.
I don't think that that's a bad thing, or it's ripping of Cap to say, that he gets triggered. He's opinionated, and his opinions are so strong in the moment, it allows him to get very triggered.
Next thing you know, he's in your driveway and wants to talk.
But he was like making the rationale that because him and his wife go upstairs to the bedroom and have some
fun.
What did I hear that right?
We have fun up there.
Did they go upstairs and have fun? So therefore, he's not triggered.
You guys remember when he wanted a Bulls player to hit Clay?
Yes, you remember? Yeah, bam! They scored 90 points in a half. Clay Thompson set the record for the most threes. And Cap said they should have tackled him.
Knocked
him on his ass. And, I mean, that's being triggered. I mean,
you know what triggered me earlier today? The conversation about the Bears and the uncertainty about job security. And I mean, like, there are certain things that trigger us all.
Yeah. Oh, well, look, I get triggered about the Tony La Russa conversation. Yeah. I mean,
I know.
For me, I get triggered when people don't let me talk. Yeah. It would be silly for me to sit here and deny. If anything, I'm self-aware. For all the faults I have, I am self-aware of all of them. I would never tell you because I go upstairs into the bedroom that I'm not triggered. It's very odd. I'm triggered. I'm quirky. I could be weird. I'm small-handed. I mean, but we're talking about like characteristics, more characteristics.
My wife paid me the ultimate compliment the other day. She said, "Honey, I just want you to know something. You're as stable as anybody."
Can I hear the part?
Was she being sarcastic?
No, but what was the genesis of why were they having a conversation about his nature, whether he was stable
because
or not?
Because someone was accusing him of getting triggered.
Because,
probably,
okay, I know. Gotcha.
I would think.
Right.
I don't get triggered.
Oh yeah,
you have to really, really go to the nth degree with me.
Okay,
like, so my wife said to me the other day,
"You
ultimate
just got We've been doing shot or no shot since 8:02. I asked you about Steven Jackson, and his comments made you go 0 to 75.
Well, I didn't get triggered by Steven Jackson.
That seemed triggered to me.
No, absolutely not. My wife paid me the ultimate compliment the other day. She said, "Honey, I just want you to know something. You're as stable as anybody." She said, "I know exactly what type of person I'm going to deal with every day." She said, "I walk in, and you always have a smile on your face. Always."
Yeah.
He does smile quite a bit.
You gotta really go over the top to trigger me.
When he's in a good mood,
you realize you talk for 3 hours on the radio every day.
Yeah, but that's my job.
But you realize, like, everybody that's hearing your voice right now has heard you get triggered
yesterday
in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I give my opinion, and this is who I am. But when I walk in the door at the house or we are upstairs, we have fun with what we do, but you don't go, "Oh, which guy is going to show up here today?"
But that's not what triggered means.
You can end it there. Like, what do you mean when you get "we have fun"? That being triggered doesn't mean you don't have fun.
I think there could be a driveway meeting tonight in your
subdivision. I'm ripping him for his take. This is Cap's worst take. He's had a bunch of bad ones. This is his worst take.
Definitely going to have a driveway meeting tonight.
This is being very self-unaware. Let me say this, too. If you are having your conversation with your wife, and your wife looks you in the eye and says, "I got to tell you this. I got to tell you this, babe." What was the word?
You're stable.
How did she say it? Good. If your wife has to
My
say.
My wife paid me the ultimate compliment the other day. She said, "Honey, I just want you to know something. You're as stable as anybody."
I think stuff is hitting the fan if you're having a conversation about how stable you are. I think that's an indication right there.
Conversation? He's meeting him by the bike rack.
6:45.
Yeah, we won't even get to the song of the night, and Cap will be standing in your driveway.
What?
Is that the ultimate compliment from your wife? What's the ultimate compliment from your wife?
Being stable?
If that's not it, then what would your guy's ultimate compliment from your wife be?
How about this, too? Thank you, Cap. Thank you for programming the show.
Beautiful, soft hair.
Yeah.
Size matters, boys.
Something that's not on that list.
Wait a minute.
It's not the size of the pencil, Jeff. It's how you write with it.
That's spoken like someone with a small pencil.
Keeps me happy.
That was the line.
You love to pull that file on us when you give penis jokes. Pretty good. Go ahead.
I didn't make a penis joke. He did. Anyway.
I made a pencil joke. You made a penis joke.
So
now that was
the conversation of the day. Lines.
Yes, there's a double anyway.
When that
in there
happened
too.
Today, I immediately sent the three of you on our text chain. I go, fantastic short conversation today between Mallory and Cap about penises and pencils.
My wife paid me the ultimate compliment the other day. She said, honey, I just want you to know something. You're as stable as anybody.
If you're having the stabled conversation to begin with, something's
Whoa,
effed
did
up.
You say stabled? That means he has to
no,
be
like
to
if
stay
someone's
in a stable.
Like,
is stable.
How,
okay.
How stable are you? If that's coming up in random conversations, things aren't great.
Isn't the ultimate compliment your pencil keeping someone else happy?
Yes, right.
Not that you're stable. He said that his pencil's keeping him happy. I don't care if I'm happy with my pencil.
Maybe he wants his to pencil. About a pencil.
It's his pencil.
I mean, you Play guys, we all Play we have again. To do is go back 2 days when he was yelling about people who like Kyle Shanahan. Remember yes. this?
I mean, oh, I yes, keep hearing true. From all these people, oh, my God, Kyle Shanahan. He's the most brilliant play caller ever. He's the greatest coach. Can I just read you his records?
Yes, please.
6-10, 4-12, 13-3, 6-10. Can we stop? Bye. Matt Nagy has a 12-4. He's never been under 500. I'm not here to tell you Matt Nagy is the greatest coach in the world, but can we stop with putting Kyle Shanahan on the effing Mount Rushmore of NFL coaches?
That's
guys
that's
records
triggered.
Suck.
Yeah.
That's triggered.
Okay, now a couple things. A, I just want to quickly ask, would you rather have Kyle Shanahan calling your plays or Matt Nagy?
Matt Nagy. No, of course, Shanahan, yeah.
And by the way, I'm not even going to go through the exercise.
No, I mean,
the whole conversation about this is crazy.
Cap would
Waddle's
be more factual.
Triggered. Waddle's if, getting triggered.
If Cap went on the air today and he said to Chicago, I am not bald, he would be more factually correct than him saying, I don't get triggered.
This is going to be a 6:35 wow. driveway conversation.
Yeah. I don't
he's
get all my
things.
He's
going to
be meeting yeah. with the car here. Cap's on his way yeah. down.
Right.
Walking
the downtown.
6:35 driveway meeting. Set your watches to it.
Should we play for Jesse? Jesse's going to join us. We're going to find out about Chris Bryant. While we're having fun, I'd like to play for Jesse our exclusive interview with Chris Bryant's hamstring. That's next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jesse Rogers is brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. He's in St. Louis for another day. He's following the Cubs until, you know, a lot of these trades are made or aren't made. Let's talk to Jesse right now on the Corona Hotline. We want to play you an interview first. Is that okay?
Absolutely. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
I want to hear this interview. I've heard good things about it, but I haven't heard it yet.
All right. So we were asking yesterday about what's going on with Chris Bryant. We don't like this hamstring fatigue. So we asked for a hamstring to call the show. We said we've never talked to a hamstring before. If you
talk to a lot of other body parts, but
if you are a hamstring, to please call the show. And Jesse, not only did we get a hamstring to call the show, but Chris Bryant's hamstring called the show. This is what it sounded like. Elmer is calling from Bryant's pants.
Oh, what?
He is a hamstring. Someone called in claiming that they are
in. Is that western suburbs or is that like that's northern?
Listen, Sonny, this is Elmer. I'm 74 years old. I'm trying to keep quiet because Chris is sleeping here in the hotel. I got down into the minibar there. That can be tiring sometimes along with standing in the grass all game in the outfield. What else would you guys like to know?
Wait, so not only did we get a hamstring to call the show,
we got the hamstring
to call the show.
Yeah,
he's a P1.
Yeah,
P1.
That's me. I've been listening on the Alexa app here that Chris has. He had it on, you know, the thunderstorm noise to keep him sleepy. But
you know his... Elmer, you know you're going to catch hell from his dad.
Me and his dad go for drinks all the time. When we're on the road, he goes to sleep. Me and his dad, we go and get about a three-finger pour of some nice scotch, share a cigar.
Do you anticipate being in the lineup tonight?
I don't know. I ran out of them blue chews. Your Croatian seller you guys have in the middays gave me before the trip. So if he can send me a couple before the game tonight, maybe I can get started.
Well, see, I thought instead of a Scotch guy, Elmer, hearing your voice, I thought you were more of a bourbon guy.
Well, it depends on the mood. Sometimes it's bourbon, sometimes it's Scotch, and other times, you know, when Chris is feeling fatigued sometimes, you know, we got to go have a nice little Chardonnay and calm him down.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I try to rock.
What type of food do you
like
prefer?
A baby cradle.
What type of food do you prefer?
Oh, well, he's into a lot of this healthy food, and that bothers me a lot. I think I'd be a little stronger if we went out and had a burger every now and then.
Is this Chef Hans?
You know, a man can only eat so much
kale. Doesn't sound sweaty.
But this, hey, I got to tell you, Elmer, this is a true honor. We have had some of the biggest names, you know, you think of Charles Barkley, you think of Mike Tyson's been inside the First Midwest
Floyd
Banks.
Mayweather.
Yep, Floyd, Chris Bryant's hamstring. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, probably the largest factor of why I'm so exhausted all the time is I've been a Detroit Lions fan my whole life.
And then you were from
Vegas.
And now
we got a guy trying to bite kneecaps, talking about kneecap soup. His name's Campbell's, you know. I think they're going to come out with that flavor.
All right, Chris Bryant's hamstring.
Thanks,
thank you,
Elmer.
All right, take care, fella.
That was not like a bit. That was a real caller. Jesse, what'd you think? Did you get any nuggets of information?
Oh, I got plenty. I didn't know Chris was drinking now. Or at least the hamstring.
No, his hamstring, yes. Right.
You know, it deserves mockery because they say in baseball you see something new every day. I've never heard of a player coming out mid-game for heavy legs. It's the strangest thing. So let me give you some context. I don't doubt David Ross on 95% of the things he has said about this. I believe that they had a pregame conversation Monday or Tuesday, I guess Tuesday, and Chris wasn't feeling 100%, I guess, in his legs. And Ross was attuned to that when he dove and ran hard in that game. Chris comes in, says he's feeling something, fatigue, heaviness, and they pull him. And I believe all that. What I also believe is if this was any other season, he probably does not come out of that game. He probably doesn't miss the next game or tonight. He'd probably be playing. So it's pretty obvious they're being careful with a major trade chip. I'm not saying that they've made this completely up, because remember, Chris Bryant had to come out into the dugout and tell someone his legs weren't feeling good to come out mid-game. It'd be one thing if he didn't start, then you'd maybe say it's on Ross. But Chris had to have said something, and Ross got nervous, right, and, you know, so to speak, and takes him out, and that's why he hasn't played since. But he is supposed to be in the lineup tomorrow, available tonight off the bench. But no doubt in my mind, they're taking it careful with him.
And they should.
Yeah.
How much is is this hamstring talk affecting their bargaining power, if at all?
I don't think it is, and that's why they made it sound very minor. I mean, heavy legs, right? It's a whole different thing if they say a pulled hamstring or even a sore hamstring can take weeks. I think they're trying to play it down the middle. Yeah, we're going to be careful. Jed can always call these teams, the Mets, and say, look, we're not playing him. He's fine. Just we wanted to be careful for your sake. And for our sake, obviously, we want to get a trade done. And I do think the Mets are the leader in the clubhouse. I told you that last week. I will say the Rays are here, and I think they're not here for pitching. They have plenty of pitching. I think they're here to see Chris Bryant. I think they are a long shot still, but that's the team you want to trade with. By far the best farm system in baseball. You could eat up a lot of his money, right, because the Rays don't like to take on money. If you're the Cubs, you say, we'll pay the rest of the salary or half of it. Give us the best possible prospect back. But I don't think it's going to be the Rays. I reported last week, I think it's the Mets. I'm going to stick with the Mets if it happens. and go from there. But Jed can obviously tell them, look, he's fine. We just want to play careful for now.
Yeah. If they want to play careful, why don't they not play him until the situation is clarified?
Well, remember, I don't think the numbers are going to make a big difference if he has a hot week or not, but you still want to see the guy play. I mean, you know, it just doesn't happen where you sit out 10 days or something, right?
It did with Anthony Davis, and he could get hurt again in the 10 days.
Yeah, I know, I guess. But I think teams still want to see the guy swing. They just, you know, you want to see what you're getting for sure. And, you know, I saw scouts writing things down when he went and dove in left field and made a great catch the other night before he came out of the game. Like, you know, they just want to see it. I don't think you trade for a guy that sits out for 10 straight days. I feel it's just not the norm. I guess it's not a bad point. And certainly if they get close, he'll sit out again. But, you know, scouts want to see what teams want to see what they're getting exactly. Even though, again, what's the difference if he's hot or cold for 1 week? I get all that. So we'll see. We'll see how much he does play in this final week. And who knows? Maybe the trade doesn't happen.
Jess, what about the timeline? I thought Jeff Passan had an interesting conversation with Carmen the Good Kid earlier today about, like, there are a lot of guys that the Cubs could trade. And just the procedural issues, trading everybody at the trade deadline could be a bit hectic. Would you spread them out or try to get rid of some of them now because you're not going to be able to trade 8 guys on the trade deadline?
Well, I think you would if you're Jed, as long as you hear the right name back. And remember, the closer you get to the deadline, the more, you know, using the word desperate, these other teams get. It's not Jed who's going to get desperate because he'll keep them. He'll keep them, give them the qualifying offer, and, you know, get them traffic. It's these other teams that have a chance at the World Series that get desperate every day, every hour you get closer to the deadline. So I don't think Jed cares when it happens as long as he hears the right names in return. I would suspect early next week something will get done, but I think it's more about Thursday and Friday next week. You know, I think most teams just, you know, react that way. The more information you have, the better to get a deal done. And when you're talking about opponents that are going for the World Series, the more information they have means closer to the deadline because you know where you are in the standings. And the other thing is injuries. Like, you want to wait as long as you can because the last thing you want to do is make a trade and then an injury pops up and you've already given up some assets. So all of that is in play. And you know how it works. The deadlines create action. It doesn't matter if you're talking about contracts, CBAs, or a trade deadline. That creates the action.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying to Waddle. Jesse, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I believe I've come around to this way of thinking that unless the Cubs get a huge hometown discount from any of these guys, and I'm talking about Rizzo too, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, I am not paying, quote, market price for them. I'm worried now that maybe Rizzo is on the decline, that the regression is here. He's got a bad back. He doesn't play a premium position. The $70 million that the Cubs offered him that I laughed at the beginning of the year, I think that's an overpay right now for a guy who's doing what he's doing. Baez is not going to get $100 million from me right now. I'd rather go and check the Seager and Story and Trey Correa. Turner and Correa and all those other guys and hope Castellanos opts out and spend money on pitching. Like, unless they come to me and say, look, I'll sign here for this discount, to me, I don't think any of the three right now are worth the market price.
I think it's a great point. I really do. Rizzo's having an awful contract year, an absolute awful contract year. Forget about the base running gap last night. Just look at his plate, what he's doing at the plate, the results, the stats, however you want to break it down. It's just not good. It's not good. He ranks near the bottom in, among first basemen, and that's a position where you need your power. Guy's had a great career, but it's not the contract year you want. And so, yes, he's going to get less than they probably offered. If
2 years in a row, too, Jesse. Like, it's like 2020, okay, you understand what happens. Now come out and play like Anthony Rizzo. And these 2 years, look at all the analytics. They are not kind to Anthony Rizzo.
No, they're not. Now, Baez is a little different, and he is so hard. Like, that negotiation is so hard. He's such a volatile player. There's such bad in there, and then there's some really good, because at the end of the year, he's going to have 35 and maybe even close to 100 and all that stuff. He's made too many errors this year, but we know when locked in, he still is a good defender. I still think he's going to get a good deal, possibly from the Cubs, like over $100 million.
Wow.
You just can't have eight Javi Baezes. I said this to you last week or on the, with Carmen, whatever. You can't have eight of them. You can have one of them. You got to build around him with Nico Hoerner and the those type of hitters. I have more faith that the Baez will return on a decent deal for him and the team. But, man, Rizzo's value has plummeted. There's no doubt. And Brian's value is just okay. I mean, for him, like, he's not getting 250. He doesn't have 1,000 OPS. The start that he had has come back down to earth. And he's been in and out of the lineup a little bit. So I don't disagree with anything you've said, Sylvie.
Up against the clock. So quickly, what are you hearing about anything potentially happening with Rick Hahn and the Southsiders?
Well, two White Sox scouts were here this week, and that is a lot. When there were only half a dozen here, and two of them are from the White Sox. Now, the Cubs do play them a couple weeks, so you could say they're advancing them, but they're also looking at the relievers, Tapera or Chafin. I would not be surprised at all, especially Tapera, if he ended up on the White Sox. Now, the White Sox are scouring the market for relievers, so it's just not the Cubs, but I found it very interesting. There were two White Sox scouts here. That tells me something, and one of them, by the way, was like a special assistant to the general manager. They have like four of them, so it's more than just your normal scouting. You know, you've sent a guy of pretty high importance of the White Sox here. So I think that's all very interesting. There's no doubt he's going to pick up a reliever or two or three. We know the setup men have not been very good for them. As Ryan Burr was blowing the game the other day, Ryan Tapera was pitching a really good inning and then followed it up, I believe, yesterday with another good one. He's back after an injury. So I think there could be a match. Now, the White Sox farm system has changed a little bit because a lot of those guys have graduated. The Jays were here as well. I think they're looking at Chris Bryant. Those are long shots. The Phillies and Mets were here looking for, at Bryant and relievers. So, as you guys know, Kimbrel, Chafin, and Tapera are the guys that you're going to get the most return for. And then if you get something for Bryant, you take it, you move on, because I don't think you're going to get a ton.
Great stuff, Jesse. Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys, talk to you later.
Jesse Rogers brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. If you want to react to the Cubs, and would you, like, are you paying market price for any of the three right now? 332-3776 is a phone number. And I was shocked today reading something in a Chicago newspaper that is still banned in our city. I didn't know.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I Googled this phrase. I'm on psychology today.
Why don't you stay there for a while?
I didn't know the exact phrase. I always sort of have heard this mentioned a few times. If you love something, set it free.
If it wants to be let go.
Well, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back, it's yours. Like, that's, I think, the way it finishes.
But what? Maybe it doesn't want to be. I mean, like, I get it, but like, part of me is like, why? Unless you need to let it go, why would you just walk away from it?
I feel like we're at the point with the Cubs. This is a Cubs thing. Did you know that? Yeah, really? I was talking about the Cubs. Yeah. That I'm just like...
No, I did not think that like this.
I love them. I love these guys. I love what they've meant to the Cubs. I love many moments that they had, and I'll always love them. But I think it's time to set them free. If they want to come back for a cheap price where I'm really getting a good deal, then I'll keep them. But
You want cheap love?
Yeah, with them.
Yeah,
I'll pay for more love in the future from other people. But I'm not paying for past love. I'm paying for current love. I haven't been loved enough lately. It's time to set them free.
Okay, so the saying. I love the saying, but it's designed for this perfectly because there is conflict. And I agree with you, and I think the statement for this particular situation fits perfectly. If this was 2017, then the statement doesn't fit.
Right.
But 2021, yes.
The way this is trending, I can't believe Anthony Rizzo looks like he looks. And I'm not just talking about yesterday's game. I barely watched yesterday's game again. Like, they're so boring to watch right now. I love watching Kyle Hendricks pitch, but that watching them hit is so damn boring. And the is Chris Bryant in the lineup? Is he not in the lineup? And is Baez going to make more errors today? I love what they've meant, but none of them should cost you a premium anymore.
I'm with you.
And look, if Chris Bryant wants to play for $125 million over the next 6 years, he can come back.
Yeah.
But Chris Bryant, and what Scott Boras wants to get for him, is it's going to start with a two. Avi Baez wants 150, 125. No. And like even the Rizzo $70 million, I'm going to put that into pitching. I'm going to put it into guys who I know can rake.
Very fair.
And I'm going to spend it. I'm not going into a rebuild next year. There are plenty of guys who are on this market. And with this new labor deal, maybe you could be ahead of a trend here. But I'm not signing these guys because they're Cubs. Like, let me ask you this. Let's phrase it this way. You're not a Cubs fan. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it out. You're one of the 29 other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at Chris Bryant. You're looking at Anthony Rizzo. And you're looking at Javi Baez in this year's free agency.
Yes.
You say, I need to target who?
How about this? I need a shortstop and a first baseman, so I'm going to target Correa and Rizzo, but I'm going to get Rizzo at my price.
This is breaking news.
Oh boy.
Powered by PointsBet Sports.
Every time that
news comes, this isn't Olympics related, is it?
No, but if Sox fans were worried about one member of the Minnesota Twins, they no longer have to worry about him anymore.
Nelson Cruz,
according to Jeff Passan, has been traded to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Wow. Nelson Cruz is a guy, I think he's 40, isn't he? Isn't he 39
or 40?
Yeah, he's
pretty old, yeah. Yeah.
He still can hit the you-know-what out of the baseball.
He'll probably be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'm with you,
Chris. Because his home run numbers are way up there.
And I know White Sox fans, you know everything you need to know about him, but for the casual baseball fan, like, if you don't know how good he is, you're missing out.
Oh, no, well, look, you may run into them in the postseason.
Yeah, and, no doubt.
Did you say, Abdallah, that you don't have to worry about him anymore? I mean, you know? You may have
to do that 30 times a year, though. Yeah.
No, I know, but in a big at bat in
you
October,
you may have to get through the Rays.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that.
And Jesse just told you guys 10 minutes ago to watch out for the Rays with Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's just DHing, yeah. Right? I mean,
yeah, he's a bat, and
right.
You know, just keep your eyes
Eric,
on the Rays.
Right. He's 41 years of age, and this year, like we talk about Riz, and I thought Riz was going to bounce back. Like the reason, like why I said I still think he had. I thought 2021 for Rizzo was going to, he was going to morph back into who he normally is, which at the end of the year,
30 home runs, 100
RBIs, driven
right,
in, he's on base 37% of the time.
At least, right. He's a 340 guy now.
Cruz, at the age of 41, through 85 games, has 19 home runs, 50 driven in. He's hitting .294 with an on-base percentage of .370.
Yeah.
He's got an OPS at the age of 41 of .907. That dude can rake.
Yes, yes.
He is second right now in current all-time, or he's third, actually, because Albert Pujols is still playing, right, with the Dodgers?
Yes.
He's third all, he's in the current list, all-time home runs. He's third right now.
Yeah.
Miggy is second, and then Nelson
he's got 436 for his career. You're right, Chris. I think that those are Hall of Fame numbers for sure.
Nelson Cruz to the Rays, and again, that's another team that the it is up for grabs in the American League. The Sox are going to be, of course,
got to get some bullpen arms.
Top favorite, maybe the second favorite, but Houston's good. The Rays are good. Boston's really good. Oakland's good. They're really good teams in the American League, and it's going to be totally up for grabs. But you know, the Cubs' point again is, if I'm sitting in Texas, I'm a Rangers fan, and I need players, I'm not saying, boy, you know who I need to get? I need to get Baez, Rizzo, or Bryant. We are slanted because we are Cubs fans. I am a Cubs fan. So I think we've overrated them, and we need the necessity of getting them back. But I don't think the baseball world would view them as that. And I'm coming around where I'm like, look, if this is it, set them free and thank them for
their
time.
The only thing I would say to that is, and I agree with you, I'm not overpaying for anyone. Javi Baez still has value for me.
No, he does, but does he want $25 million in his value?
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm not just doing this with Javi because I do believe there's value there. I ain't paying him what I thought I may have to pay him earlier in the year, But I do believe Javi Baez does have value. And I believe Javi Baez is a guy, when this contract thing gets resolved, however it gets resolved, I think there will be a relief rally from him. That, like, it may not happen this year, but when he finally, this all gets resolved, I think that the pressure, some of it will be off of him, and you'll see him, at least in a little bit of a way, bounce back. But you're right. I wouldn't be overpaying anyone.
332-3776. It's not overpaying. My statement, I am not giving them market value. I'm not going to be coming out of there saying, oh, they're worth the price of some of the, what the,
Well, market value for Javi isn't going to be what market value for Correa is. I mean, those are two different markets.
Of course, but I am not, like, I've come to the conclusion where unless I am saying now, this statement is not about overpaying. The statement is, unless they give me a hometown discount.
Like? What does that look like?
It's a discounted price to play with the Cubs versus any other team.
Project that. You're good with baseball numbers. How much per year for 4 years?
Dude,
then?
4 months ago, I thought $70 million for Rizzo was a slap at Rizzo. It turns out that's an overpayment for Rizzo.
Right. Rizzo, though, is 30-plus and has a bad back. Doesn't play a premium position as you describe. What would be team friendly for Javi? Is he not making
$100 million for 5 or 6?
So $20 million a year.
Twenty or under, something like that. I could think about. All right, we were talking in the IDOP open before the show, and remember, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social medias at lifeordeathillinois.com. I was shocked that you can't do this. If you want to spend your money in the city of Chicago, you cannot do this. And we will tell you what that is next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Don't forget, we got White Sox baseball today. It starts at, it's a day off today. I saw Eric and I'm like, what am I thinking? I have tomorrow's free ticket, Friday, though. That's what I'm thinking. About this time tomorrow,
your sadness
5:45.
Yeah, your Cubs sadness has affected your brain.
It had nothing to do with the Cubs. Don't slant that way. Come on now. We have a free ticket Friday. 45 after every hour. 9:40, 7:45, 8:45, 9:45 for Cap and Jay Hood. 10:45 and 11:45 for Carmen and Yurko. And then for us, it's 2:45, 3:45, 4:45, 5:45. Free ticket Friday. Sox tickets will be given away tomorrow. Make sure you are listening. I sent you guys an article. I believe it was in the Sun Times today.
It's one of the most unbelievable concepts in the last 12 months.
That, believe it or not, sports books are still banned in our city, in the city of Chicago. It is legal to gamble on sports in the state of Illinois. It is legal in many different places to have a sports book, like Rivers is in Rosemont. Where's Hawthorne's sports book?
Not in incorporated Chicago, I guess?
It's not in Chicago. I'm trying to think the city, because that we have done a points bet. Remote. DraftKings is in Illinois. It's the Casino Queen where we. So they're going to approve it, and they're eventually going to the city council. There's someone on the near west side, one of the aldermen, is fronting this thing to get it approved. But I don't. What are they waiting for?
I have no idea.
So then the brick and mortar sports books can open here. And remember, the other catch here is you've got to be within a several block radius to build it of one of the stadiums. You can't just set up anywhere in Chicago and say, we're putting a DraftKings sportsbook here. You've got to be within a few blocks of Wrigley, a few blocks of Guaranteed Rate, a few blocks of the United Center.
Well, isn't Wrigley, the plan is eventually to have one right there.
It's DraftKings. Yeah, I believe they have the partnership with DraftKings.
In the stadium, basically.
Right.
I don't, it, you just, you're wasting an opportunity to cash a check for, you know, different taxes.
What was the holdup?
I don't know. Is there some ethical, you know, facade that's being built here, or they're standing beside or behind saying, I don't, I mean, like, if you feel morally that it's not the right thing to do, then get rid of the lottery as well. I mean, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Like, right. And again, this isn't that sports gambling is banned in Chicago. The sports book in Chicago city limits still is not legal. They still have to go through measures in the city council to get this approved.
Yeah.
And then the other part of this whole thing, it's been just so confusing on what you can do. We're still in that time frame again where if you are new and you've been saying, hey, I've heard Waddle and Sylvie talk about gambling for a while. You know what? I didn't think that I'd be into it. So when we could sign up online, I never did. It didn't. But now I've sort of I'm getting the hang of it. It's more in the public mainstream. Now I'm thinking about signing up at one of the books. You still have to go there to sign up. You can't go on your phone and register.
That shows you the sway that the casinos have. Because it's going to be competition for them with people not having to go straight into the sports book to make sports wagers.
Right. But wouldn't the casinos all benefit if you could?
I would think so.
Like, look, you sign up for all the shops, right, and get the best deals? Isn't that what you do with any sort of shopping, that you're looking for the best bargains?
You're peeing away tax dollars. Like, won't there be tax dollars created by gambling?
Of course.
Well, then, like, the more gambling, the better with regard to tax dollars. The whole concept, I don't know what the explanation for why we're still in this holding pattern is, other than relationships that are existing between the casinos and the lawmakers. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I don't know. Whoever's pockets were greased.
How else do you explain it? Well, to actually be able to wager on your phone, you have to go to the brick and mortar store. What is the explanation for that?
Right. And like, how does that benefit that particular shop? I know you have to go there initially just to sign up that one time, be within that geofencing or whatever they call it.
They think that once you walk in the building, you're going to stay there?
Or don't you think that if more people may sign up for your place if they're not within driving distance? Like, it's going to benefit those places with brick-and-mortar shops, too.
Of course.
If you allow everyone to still sign up like you did in the middle of the pandemic. Because we're still in the pandemic, but the governor, a couple months ago, shut that down again, stupidly. So, I was surprised today. Like, not only do I have this sort of feeling where I'm confused over why Illinois isn't letting you sign up online when you can do anything online. But I was shocked today to see that Chicago still bans sports books.
Without a ton of knowledge about this, the only conclusion I can come to is that there's some sort of relationship that exists that won't allow things to run the way they should.
And I would like to have that explained to me, like who that benefits.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Not benefiting the consumer.
Believe me, we're not politicians.
No, but it's not benefiting the consumer, is it?
No, it's not.
I think at the end of the day, what is going to be most healthy for the entire industry is allowing people to sign up online from the comforts of their couch.
Yes.
Make it as simple as possible.
The more, the merrier. Right. And let them sign up for all of them. Sign up for all of them and get all the great promo deals.
And really, the city of Chicago, you still can't have a sports book?
It's still not approved. They're getting there. Thank you to Dan Weederer and Jesse Rogers. Good stuff today. It's going to be a great Friday show tomorrow. And again, free ticket Friday. Don't forget, starts at 7:45 in the morning with Cap and Jay Hood. So we've got a full ride today. Full hours of Black and Abdallah. Thank you to them for their great work today on our show. As always, for Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight?
what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'll give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.